Well, tonight is the 7th of October 2017, Saturday evening. You've joined us for our Pineville House Fellowship. I just sent out the talk sheet, everyone, a while ago, and Chris has requested that we continue and kind of finish out the third Epistle of John, and then we'll start in Jude. I don't know how far we'll get, and that will take place on Monday evening. That would be the 9th at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern time, and we're still announcing our fellowship this on the 22nd. Of October. If you have an interest in that, you can call me on my cell phone at 417-393-6990. That's 417-393-6990. Or you can call me on my landline at 417-435-2616 and leave a message. That's pretty much all the announcements. We're going to be going to Joplin tomorrow, having fellowship with the Sovereign Grace Church up there in Joplin with Michael Smith and his family. Tonight we're going to start with A Worship the King in the Old School Hymnal, page 8. Mark has selected that song. Page 8. Mark, you want to start that verse?
Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days. Pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is a light, whose canopy space, His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form. And dark is His path on the wings of the storm. By bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain. And sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeblest frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Okay, the next one we're going to do is taken out of the Psalter. Rosette would like to sing Psalm 34a, page 36.
Praise the Lord.
Do you want to start that?
At all times I will bless the Lord, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in the Lord boast, the meek shall hear with joy. I'll magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name. In all my fears I sought the Lord, for from him deliverance came. They looked to him and radiant were ashamed, they shall not be. This poor man cried, the Lord heard, from trouble set him free. The angel of the Lord encamps around, encompasseth all those about that do him fear, and them delivereth. O taste and see the Lord is good, who trust in him are blessed. For God is saints, none that him fear shall be the one oppressed. The lion's young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good.
Okay. We'll sing a couple out of the Gadsby hymnal. We're still learning those, so bear with us on that. As we work through these, we're going to try to sing 995, They Seek a Country, and this is taken from the tune of that song that says, all my life long I had panted from a something from some cool spring, and I thought I'd taste the burning of the rhododendron. Okay. From Egypt lately come, where death and darkness reign, we seek a garden or better home, where we our rest shall gain. To Canaan's sacred mound we haste with songs of joy, where peace and liberty are found, and sweets that never cloy. There sin and sorrow cease, and every conflict's o'er. There shall we dwell in endless peace, and never hunger more. There is celestial strength in raptured myriad saint. There love every race, for Christ himself is king. We soon shall join the throng, and all their pleasures share, and sing the everlasting song with all the ransom there.
Okay. Let's try to sing 974. This is called Seek Peace. It's taken from Psalm, the 34th chapter, or Romans, the 12th chapter. And it's going to be to the tune of, I will make the darkness light before thee, from one of the praise and worship hymns. It goes, I will make the darkness light before thee. While contests are in the Christian church, O man of the friend of peace, the sacred manuscripts are searched, and learn from Adam its seeds. Oh, teach me, Lord, thy truth to know, and separate from all beside. This would I guard from every foe, nor fear the issues to abide. But keep me, Lord, from party zeal, that seeks its own and not thy praise. This temper I would never feel, or when I do would own its base.
Be mine to recommend thy grace, that sinners may believe and live, that they who live may run the race, and then a crown of life receive. Lord, search my heart, oh, search me through. Detect, destroy what's not thine own. Whene'er I speak, whate'er I do, oh, may I speak thy praise alone. Okay. Let's try to sing one more. Let's try 6:11, and this is from Galatians 5:17. This is to the tune of nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was like na 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 na. Lord, I freely would confess, I am alone in righteousness, base and vile from head to feet, full of pride and self-conceit. When thy presence I enjoy, I can say my God is nigh, and with holy wonder tell, thou, dear Lord, dost all things well. When deliverance thou hast wrought, I can of thy wonders talk, and too often proudly say, nothing more shall me dismay. When by faith I be my Lord, bathed in agonies and blood, my joys love repeat, sink to nothing at his feet. But alas, how soon I stand at a distance unconcerned, and the trifles of a day almost carry me away. Lord, with shame I own, I to evil still am prone, vile and base indeed. When from sin shall I be freed? Make me strong and steadfast too, help me all I will to do, and with patience may I wait, ever knocking at thy gate. Well, we've been going through some of these writings by the Valley of Vision, written by Arthur Bennett, and I want to read this. It's called The Infinite and the Finite. Thou great I am, fill my mind with elevation and grandeur at the thought of a being with whom one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. A mighty God who amidst the lapse of worlds and the revolutions of empires feels no variableness, but is glorious in immortality. May I rejoice that while men die, the Lord lives, that while all creatures are broken reeds, empty cisterns, fading flowers, withering grass, he is the rock of ages, the fountain of living waters. Turn my heart from vanity, from dissatisfactions, from uncertainties of the present state, to an eternal interest in Christ. Let me remember that life is short and unforeseen, and is only an opportunity for usefulness. Give me an holy avarice to redeem the time, to awake at every call to charity and piety, so that I may feed the hungry, clothe the naked, instruct the ignorant, reclaim the vicious, forgive the offender, diffuse the gospel, Show neighborly love to all. Let me live a life of self-distrust, dependence on thyself, mortification, crucifixion, and prayer. You know, I've been thinking a lot, which could get me in trouble, but I've been thinking a lot today about several things. I've been thinking about the return of Christ. I've also been thinking about the blood of Christ. And then finally, I've been thinking about the, the aspect of grace. Grace, the return of Christ, the blood of Christ. And when I get these thoughts, I like to write them down. I want to read you this first thing on the return of Christ. Remember here a number of years ago, I think it was back in probably maybe 30 years ago, maybe even longer. I think it was the Spear family that sang "The King is Coming." And so I've entitled this "The King is Coming," but I'll read this to you. "The King is Coming. We have heard the King is coming all our life. In the midst of this turmoil and this strife, we anticipate him coming at any time, and hearing him say, 'Well done, my child,' and knowing that everything is fine. But until that day comes, we will wait for his return and always share the gospel and our candle always burn. Because of his spirit always dwelling in our lives, we'll occupy until he comes splitting the eastern skies." You know, there's a contrast between the Arminians talking about we will work till Jesus comes and the sovereignty of God people saying we'll wait till Jesus comes. Okay. Now, also, I want to read you, this came to me today on grace. Grace. "Grace is the fountain from which springs faith. It is our foundation from which our lips sing his praise. It is our anchor in the midst of the storm. It is our comfort when we are forlorn. Grace is our sustainer when we are hard-pressed, with the burdens coming over us and bringing us distress. Grace is God's answer. To us and showing us his love and his smile, and grace will finally bring us to eternity after a while." Isn't that wonderful? It's all of grace. We don't do anything to bring ourselves to Christ. We don't do anything, do we? Now, the last one I want to do is the one on the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. What did the blood of Christ accomplish for us? Did it merely make it possible that we could be saved? No. It secured our salvation forever, you see, that we would live with Jesus for eternity. The blood of Jesus could never fail what it was purposed to do. This brings comfort to my soul, and I hope comfort to you. He did not hang in agony upon the cruel tree just to make our salvation only a possibility. So the next time you hear someone proclaiming salvation is only a possibility based on man's free will, smile to yourself and say, "My redemption's already fulfilled." Okay. And you know, in reality, our redemption, our salvation was fulfilled and decreed before creation. You know, we sing that song, you know, about the fact, was with an everlasting love. And we also sing the song about the true story. Looking back in history, we see events unfold, and the greatest story in history is the greatest story ever told. It's not just a novel. No, this story is true, how God sent His Son to die to redeem His chosen few. Praise and thanksgiving we give to the Son, who in the courts of heaven with the three in one made provision for the sinner through His blood. The work is done. The plan was determined between the Trinity, and this great story would be a certainty. God would redeem His people, a ransom He would pay. Christ would be slain on Calvary in history on that day. You see, Scripture tells us that He was slain in eternity before the world began. It was predetermined. Yes, it was His master plan. Well, there's many scriptures that we could go to that shows us the fact that this was determined by God before creation. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear about that, do they? Because, like a friend of mine says all the time, the reason they don't want to talk about it is because if they talk about predestined election, that means they don't have a hand in their salvation. They want to have a hand in it. They want to think that their faith, their repentance, their choice, their decision, their confession, their proclamation of what they did, all of that has a part and parcel in their salvation. But of course, we know that Scripture tells us something, you know, totally different than that. We know that Scripture tells us that by faith we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship in Christ. And so when we read read the scriptures, we find that this is something that is very evident, pointed out to us. Now, we could go even further than that. We could go even further than that. We could go back to the 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, and it says, "Who hath saved us?" That's past tense. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That's what it says. Notice there's several things in that verse. He hath saved us. Not that He is saving us, not that He will save us, but He has already saved us. He's called us with a holy calling. And the calling is not according to something we did. He didn't look down through the portals of time and see that we were going to choose Him. No. But according to His own purpose. Notice that. He had a purpose in all of those for whom He called. He had a purpose for all of those whom He saved. He had a purpose for all of those who He showed His grace to. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. According to His own grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor of God. Nothing that we could do to merit God's favor. How could we merit his favor if we're dead in our trespasses and sin? Scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then probably one of the most unusual phrases in Scripture says, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. All of that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Our salvation, our holy calling, his purpose, and his grace. In Christ Jesus, all of that was given to us before the world began, before creation. Now, where does that leave us? That leaves us eternally grateful. That leaves us in awe that Christ, in his mercy and his grace, would see fit to shower his love upon us who were undeserving of this great, great gift of salvation that was given us, before the world began. When we contemplate this, that he has given us this grace before the world began, we have nothing to boast of. Nothing. You know, there's a lot of people out there that talk about they talk about their ministry and all the things they're doing for God. Well, I want to read you this. This is called My Petition. Dear Lord, the reins of my heart are in your hands. When troubled waters are before me, my enemies obey your command. Who can in thy holy presence stand? But those who thou hast delivered with your mighty hand and chose them in Christ before the world began. My hope rests in your finished work and in your Son, who gave his life a ransom for many, to rescue their souls from death for eternity. What a delight as I trust in your grace and mercy to think that you have chosen me to raise me from death to life and set my soul in Christ at liberty. When I come to stand before your holy throne, may I trust in your Son and your Son alone, and abide with you forever, for your blood for me atones. There's something that happens within the believer when we realize that this grace that God has given us is something that is beyond our understanding, something that is beyond our ability to contemplate, something that, think about it, the creator of the universe giving himself as a ransom for his people, dying upon the cruel and rugged cross for his people. You know, when we think about that, that should change our whole perspective about salvation, redemption. The fact that he did it, if anyone has a free will, it's God. God is not dependent upon his creatures. He's autonomous. He's totally independent of his creatures. And there's a lot of people that want to put conditions upon it, don't they? They want to put conditions upon it. They want to some way use that as a means of controlling other people. And I want to conclude with this thought, because I think that when we think about the gift of salvation, you know, I've often used this example around Christmas time. People exchange gifts, and they exchange gifts because it's what they're anticipating getting out of giving someone a gift. In other words, they think that they're going to come out on the better end of the stick. Remember when you were young and you were eating fried chicken and you had wishbone and you tried to tear it apart and you tried to get the biggest part when you broke the bone? That's how people are at Christmas time. They give out gifts hoping that they're going to get a more expensive gift than the one they're giving out. But the gift of salvation is totally different than that, isn't it? The gift of salvation, God knew that he was not going to get anything back other than the wrath of God upon him. He said, I freely lay my life down and I freely raise it up again. So I want to read this. This is called Wonderful Grace. And we'll conclude this and we'll sing a final selection. What awesome, wonderful, magnificent grace God has bestowed upon us, who were dead in our trespasses and sin, to choose us before the creation of the world, before our life would even begin, to be adopted into his family from the beginning to the very end. How can our tongues describe this marvelous thing he did for you and me? To send his son to die and redeem us for eternity. By shedding his precious blood on the cruel and rugged tree and paid the greatest ransom possible to set our souls free. Amazing grace, amazing love, so merciful to you and me who deserve to die an eternal death and experience awful suffering in hell. But God gave us to his son and now we sing thanks to Calvary with our souls, it is well. 1,000,000 years from now, we will still be praising him for delivering us from death and the bondage of sin. All glory be to the Lamb who bled and died for you and me. Our praises will ring out for all eternity. Well, do we have a final selection? 184 in the old school hymnal. Mark, do you want to sing that or start that? This is called Grace Tis a Charming Sound.
Grace tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear, and with the echo shall resound, and all the saints shall hear. Grace first contrive the way to save rebellious man, and all the steps that grace displayed, which drew the wondrous plan, grace first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took. Grace led my roving feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour I meet, while pressing on to God. Grace taught my soul to pray, and made mine eyes o'erflow. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day, and will not let me go. Grace all the work shall crown, through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone, and well deserves the praise.